of today's talk is keep your why strong, getting back to basics. And my prayer is that somehow this word will encourage you, but it'll also challenge you and just stretch your thinking a bit and just really provoke some soul searching to change some of the things that you're doing well. Because otherwise there's no point, is there? I could stand up here and, you know, bang on all day. If you don't go and do something with it that changes you and causes you to move forward, then there's kind of no point really. So, and as you know from previous talks I've done, I've talked a lot about this thing about how Dave and I are trying to get a lot more simplicity into our lives to create space around us so that we can do the things that we need to do, so that we can rest, so that everything is just less cluttered. And what happened was I really felt that God challenged me to take a look at my walk with him and get back to basics with that and to get some simplicity in it, because I think sometimes we can overcomplicate our walk with God. And what that meant for me was around that whole thing, you know, in that Martin Smith song where it says, back to the start where you found me. So it's about remembering that time, what it was like to see him, to know him for the first time, and then to be able to declare again, as Tony encouraged us a few weeks ago, to say, here I am, send me. To not, as I've already said, not overcomplicate my walk with politics or theology or this or that and the other. And to also get back to the reason why I said yes and chose to walk this walk 25 years ago. And I suppose that all comes down to getting back a strong why. And that will become evident as we go through this. So some of you may or may not know that I'm actually a professionally qualified business analyst, which sounds very, very grand. And part of what they teach you to do when you're learning how to be a business analyst is you have to continually ask why. So a lot of times when I sit down with customers at work and we're largely looking at, they usually want to do something with an IT system or something, they'll know in their mind what they want to buy, and they'll go, oh, I need one of these to do this particular thing. And as business analysts, we have to kind of challenge that by asking them, well, why? And actually, it's really hard for some people to articulate the reason why they want to procure or buy or implement a particular thing. They kind of have already sussed out the how and the what and, you know, the things that they want to change. But in terms of the reason why they want to do it, they're really unable to articulate it. And what we have to do as business analysts is get to that point where we're able to kind of get to the reason why they want to do something. And sometimes, actually, then they even go, well, I don't need to do that because, actually, I don't really have a good enough reason why I want to do that. And I think it's really interesting, isn't it, with little ones, they ask the question, why? And actually, even as bigger ones, they still ask, why? So I don't know, there's probably something we can learn from little ones there. And what I've really realised over, again, many years of working in business, and it's interesting, actually, last week at the leaders' meeting, we were talking about how, you know, that kind of thing where I might use things I've learned in the world of business to translate into church, and it's actually okay to do that because you can learn some really, really good stuff from the world of business, particularly in terms of if we want to be an excellent church and we want to run well, we might as well, you know, make use of what's available in the business world. And what you find often in large organisations is that sometimes they'll experience what is called mission drift. And this is when the organisation loses its way and forgets the reason why it came into being or why it sells a particular product or service. And what I've realised, I think, is that the same can be true as the church and for us as individuals. We're so busy doing what we do that we forget the why for existing, the vision, the purpose, the core beliefs, the thing that answers questions like, why do I get up in the morning? Why did I do the homeless shelter this year? Why do I serve on coffee and tea rota and spend a whole day baking in preparation? Or why do we do any area of service? Why do I do the job I do? And just in case you're kind of thinking, well, I do it for the money, it's not a good enough reason as to why that you do that. Money and material kind of outputs, they're the result of a why. And in the context of the church, I suppose we can be quite sometimes, and have been in the past, right, really focused on numbers or bums on seats or our income and these kinds of things, and it kind of just isn't good enough. And again, one of my favourite authors, Charlotte Gamble, said this: our whys can change over time, but they often need to be reinforced rather than replaced, dusted off rather than discarded. And this is what I think I found myself doing, was not thinking I needed to get a new why, but I needed to dust off what I had inside of me already and just refresh that again. So today we're going to just give a thought to a few things about why you are building, giving, planting, loving and serving, and whether or not that is rooted in the truth of Jesus or is founded on some temporal personal gain thing, what's happening now. And I'm just going to talk about, firstly, I've got two main points. I haven't got three today, two main points. So really bad. And you're going to sit here and you're going to think, gosh, it's going to take her a while to get to some scriptures, but we will get there. So you just have to just bear with me on that, but we will get there. So why is why different from how, what and who? There's a chap called Simon Sinek, who's an author and motivational speaker, and he wrote a book specifically around this area called Start With Why. And there's a TED Talk. Some of you may be familiar with TED Talks. They're just like short little talks that you can listen to online, usually quite motivational. And he's got a little one out there called Find Your Why. And he says that everybody has a why, but every person knows what they do and how to do it, but very few of us have ever really taken the time to think about why we do what we do. So we know the how and we know the what, it's really easy. But that deep-rooted why, it just perhaps isn't in some of our thinking. And what this has caused me to do is to, again, assess some of the reasons why I do things. So here's a few questions here that should be fairly easy to answer. And I just want you to have a think about them and take them away and think about them in either the context of your job, your studies, your church, whatever it is, whether you're at home. You know, think about, what do you do here? And then think about, how do you do that? And then ask yourself the question, why are you doing that? And it's actually probably quite difficult. For some of us, we'll find it really difficult to know why we are doing some of the things we do. And I had to probably think about this again in the context of my job. And I know really clearly why I do what I do. And I think that is because we've got senior people that instill and compel us with the vision, and they lead us in such a way that we can't help but not know why we are doing what we're doing in terms of our work in the NHS. And I think the reason why is hard is because actually it's a really internal thing. It's quite emotional. It connects with hearts and feelings. And according to this chap, Simon Sinek, it operates within a different part of your brain to some of the things like the how and the what. That requires a different part of the brain. So it's really, really emotional. Whereas, yeah, how, what and who tends to be quite externally focused. Our why is rooted in our purpose, our cause, our core beliefs. And it goes way beyond the stuff that we do, activities, things. Why will sustain us and inspire us and keep our attention and efforts focused? Your why should compel you to act without overthinking whether or not you shouldn't. So I come back to that sentence, here I am, send me. And I think it's like thinking about that. We think about Isaiah when he said, like, here I am, send me. And I think we think that is around some real big stuff. Here I am, send me to Africa. Or here I am, send me here. But actually, this is as much about us sticking our hand up to volunteer in that kitchen when we've got our theatre group coming in than those. Because if we're compelled by the vision and the why, we will automatically stick our hand up and go, yeah, here I am, send me. Here I am, I'll do that. What do you want me to do? Or if you can't do it, you'll still go, I would love to do it, but I can't on this occasion. And I think sometimes we struggle, and I know for me, I get frustrated when we don't get enough volunteers. And I just, and in my mind, I'm thinking, why is that? And okay, people have got very good reasons for why they can't. But actually, there's something that I think is around, actually, are you compelled by the why we do some of these things that causes you to stick your hand up and volunteer? So just be thinking about that. It's quite challenging. It's a different way of thinking, I think. And what you probably need to do, and then again, Simon Sinek does this, and he draws it on a board, and I should have probably put it up, is the why is at the very centre, and how and what goes out from there. Another quote I read from an article, again, it was a kind of summary of his talk, and again, focusing on why. It says, when you are clear on your why, it enables you to focus your efforts on what matters most, compelling you to take risks and push forward, despite the obstacles and hurdles that may arise. Because when you know your why, you can endure anyhow. And I think that's really, really true. I think as well, as I'm thinking about us as the church, people buy why you do something, not what you do. And if you don't know what you do, how can we expect anybody else to, or why we do it, how can you expect anybody else to know? So when we're inviting people to things and doing this, if we don't know why we're doing that, then we've probably got a bit of a problem. And I think sometimes when we're weak on knowing why we do stuff, that's when we then have a tendency to fall back on rules and regulations, because we haven't got an emotional connection with the reason why we're doing things. So if your why is strong and well-defined and articulated, all of the how and the who and the what should follow and come easy. And we shouldn't be needing to ask ourselves why we are doing what we do. Although we regularly, as a leadership team, do that. We regularly say, right, are we doing the right things? You know, why are we doing this? Why? And we do that. It is important to do that. And it's really important for us as a leadership team to be reflecting that vision and that stuff that God's telling us back to you, so that then you can sign up for the why and stick your hands up and say, yeah, here I am, send me. You know, it's the same in business. It's the same in church as it is in business. We need to be articulating that to you regularly and in doing it well. And if we're not, then you need to come and let us know that we're not doing that. So anyway, first scripture that just captures this. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 in the Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this. When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. And then in the ESV, which is a bit more of a traditional translation of this, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. You see, it's really important, isn't it, that we see what God is doing so that we don't get led astray onto the things that we think we should be doing or the next good idea. We need to be keeping close to God and understanding his voice in this. And for me, what I've realized in this whole thing of getting back to the simplicity of God and my walk with him is that the strong why for us has, you know, it's existed since the beginning of time, and it's reflected throughout the Bible in 613 laws of the Old Testament, and it comes down to these three words: God loves people. Really simple. Our why is God loves people, and everything that we do should be hanging off that fact. I don't know if I can have some water, actually. Sorry. Can someone get some? Thanks, Pete. Our what and how who will come out of that deep understanding and connection with the original why, the big why. Because God loves people, we will be compelled to move and do likewise. Romans 13:8 says, for the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. So when you think about it like this, Christianity is really very simple. Thanks, Peter. It's not rocket science and it's not complicated. It's summed up in those three words: God loves people. And what we do, we try and overcomplicate it with things like, as I've already said, church politics, theological viewpoints on this, that and the other. We might go ahead and do our own initiatives that we just sort of self-engineer and do because we think that they're the right things to do. We focus on the what, how and who without getting back to the original why. And as I said, when it comes down to it, we're called to do two things: love God and love people. And what I've found as I've been exploring this and getting back to the simplicity of those words is that Jesus was always bringing those around him back to the reason they started following him, why he had called them, why he had sent them out, why they were called fishers of men. It's because God loves people and he wants to rescue them. And Matthew 22 and verse 36 to 39 sums this up beautifully. So I'm going to again read it from those three versions. The message says, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them." In the English Standard Version, it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself." And then in the Passion Translation, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way as yourself." See, what Jesus was doing there when he was asked that question, he was bringing them back to the original reason that they set out on the journey with him. And you know that Dave and I are... we're kind of big Bob Goff fans. We're super fans in terms of Bob Goff. And if you haven't read his books, if you don't read any other book this year, actually, there's three books: Everybody Always, Love Does, and then his wife's written a book called Love Lives Here. And they are just fabulous, and he is fabulous, and he's amazing. And I don't apologise for being a super fan. And... this quote just kind of sums up really how Dave and I are just trying to walk this simple journey of loving God and loving people. And he says, "What if we found out that God's big plan for our lives is that we wouldn't spend so much of our time trying to figure out the big plan for our lives? Perhaps he just wants us to love him and love each other." And we do that, don't we? We spend a lot of time planning, trying to work it all out for ourselves, when actually it's real simple. We're not called to judge, to exclude, to condemn, to criticise. We're called to love people. How will people see Jesus in us? By the love, the deep love that we have for one another. And the Apostle John was big on this stuff. And I think it was Jane Whiting on Facebook this week. She put out a whole load of quotes relating to love one another. Again, most of them were to do with John, actually. And I kind of hadn't realised that before. What John says in John 13 and verse 35, it says, "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." And this week, again, we've just had loads of examples of when, you know, it's good, isn't it, when you're trying to preach a message that you have opportunity to kind of outwork some of this stuff and put it to the test. We've had opportunity to do that. You know, I'm sure David and Helen won't mind me saying, but they've had washing machine issues this week. And a number of us have been involved in loving them by sorting out their washing and doing that for them, which is great. Yesterday, Dave was driving around the countryside with Freddie and Chloe and Michelle's sons and their husbands and wives in the car, taking them to a family event. You know, that pretty much, well, wrecks, I suppose, in a way, the whole day. But actually, we do these things because we love people and we just want to, you know, make sure we're just demonstrating that real love to one another. So I'm really challenged to keep doing that and make sure I do it, because sometimes I'm not the most patient in these things. And why do we love? Because he first loved us. In 1 John 4 and verse 19, it says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. In the message, it says, we, though, are going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. And again, Bob Goff, in his books, he talks about us becoming love. And it very much is rooted in all of these scriptures here. And what I've realised as well, there's that other bit in the scripture that says love God, love people. There's this bit in there that is about loving yourself. And I really think that unless you can really get to grips with loving yourself, and you do that well, and that can be on a whole number of levels, then loving people will become a whole lot easier, because you'll know who you are, so then you can express Jesus to people. And I think it's really interesting, again, things that are happening in the church, Pauline and John introducing their recovery plan and the More Than a Prayer journey, and it's all part of that. Finding freedom and really knowing deep down your worth is the key to unlocking the future and moving forward, and for you to be able to really impact people out of your story and your journey. So I feel like I've rattled through this, but I'm just going to come into, well, it's quite a long conclusion, actually. Well, it's another page or so. And again, I think as a church, we're being really drawn back to the simplicity of these two things, love God and love people. When Tony was here the other week, very much he was challenging us again to look God in the face, to see him, to know him, so that then we can take that and go and love people. You know, it's our heart to do stuff outside of the four walls. So we've got these two things in parallel at the moment working through. And then with John and Pauline's recovery More Than a Prayer thing, that then fills that love yourself bit if you need to go on that journey of to find freedom in some things. So how can you take what you've heard today and put that into practice? You've got to have a bit of homework and a bit of practical application. And what I've found as I've been just working through this is that you can kind of put together a bit of a why statement that clearly expresses how you are going to contribute to the delivery of the why. So, for example, the why being love God, love people. How are you going to outwork that and deliver it? And I think you've got to think about impact is about the difference that you want to make to the world. And your contribution is the primary action that you'll take to making that impact. So I did two statements. I sort of made up one for the church here. You may or may not agree with it, but I think it's quite good, actually. So in thinking about loving God and loving people, if we as NLC, if that's, you know, that's the big why we do any of the things we do, this is a bit of a statement around that. It says, whoever you are and wherever you are from, God values you and loves you. And we want your experience of church to be a great one. We want NLC to be a place that you feel relaxed and at home. So that's the belong bit up there. A place that you'll find Jesus, so you're going to believe, and become all God created you to be. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think, in terms of what we are as a church. Yeah? Whoever you are and wherever you are from, God values you and loves you, and we want your experience of church to be a great one. We want NLC to be a place that you feel relaxed and at home, a place where you'll find Jesus and become all that God created you to be. And then I thought about me, so how do I then take that as an individual, as somebody walking with Jesus? So I want to be, in outworking love God and love people, a person filled with God's love, because I've seen him face to face and I've stuck my hand up, reaching out beyond myself to those who need a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And God really, again, he's just so kind, isn't he? This scripture just sort of landed on my lap a few weeks back when we were in the midst of the homeless shelter coming into, we were doing the Sunday nights, and It was hard work. Sundays were hard work, and I know why the Sundays were hard work, because when I did the Thursday nights, it wasn't so much for sacrifice. I just carried on my working day into the evening. Sundays, on the other hand, required me to go home after church and then to go out again from the comfort of my lovely Sunday evening. And what God said to me was rooted in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 in the Message. It says, here's another way to put it. And this is, again, why we're here. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you up there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to be opening up to God, this generous Father in heaven. So that's really important, isn't it? By opening up to others, people will be pointed towards Jesus, and that's what we want to do. And we've talked many times about the fact that, and again, it came out again, we can't make people believe in Jesus. We can point them towards him by the things that we do, and that starts with loving them. And again, people's really broad, and I think sometimes we'll go, well, people, so what kind of people? It's all people. It's everybody. So again, don't get overcomplicated with the fact, is it this group of people? Is it that group of people? It's people, full stop. Again, Bob Goff quote, one last Bob Goff quote. He said, don't just do what you're able to do. And we're able to do many things because we're really capable people and we've got many, many skills and abilities amongst us, and it's great. But you need to figure out what you were made to do. And I think we are made to love God and love people. And I think another theme that is coming out that I've heard over a few weeks is that we need to start recognising what our spiritual giftings are, to outwork that, and then go and do lots of that. Really simple, really easy. But don't just do everything. And lastly, sort of having that really strong why, it will help you keep your head in the game, even when you don't feel like you can't go on any further. It will unleash a fearless determination to win that you may not have realised you had. Amen. So on the back of that, just to encourage you, what Dave and I realised, again, we were just sitting last week up in the White Lion, which is our second office, we realised that we hadn't advertised our Easter service, like publicly, in terms of leaflets or whatever, for a number of years. And we thought, actually, that's kind of a bit bonkers, isn't it? Because, well, Easter and Christmas, they're the times that you want people to come in and, you know, hear the good news of Jesus and what Jesus can do for them. And we're not inviting people to do that very outwardly. Yeah, you might have a conversation. So Dave got on the Mac and he has created a postcard that we were hoping was going to be available today, but they're coming Monday. So on Wednesday night, whoever wants to do that, we're going to meet up at, where are we meeting? White Lion, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock with the leaflets. We are not organised in this in any way, shape or form. Again, and some people might feel, right, I want to go and post them down Froomshaw, or I want to go here. You know, come thinking about a bit more like where you'd want to post them. So I'm not going to be as amazing as Kim and have them packaged up. We're going to take handfuls of them and we're going to take them out and we're going to invite people to our Easter service. Alison's prayer meeting is happening on Wednesday night. Keep that in mind. If prayer is your priority for this week, then do that. So there's a couple of things. But if you want to come and deliver leaflets with a group of us, that's what we're going to do. Or if you want to turn up to take a handful to distribute in your road. Because again, what we've sort of realised is, and we're really good at leafleting in this area, is that actually, it's probably going to be quite a good thing to start maybe connecting in a bit more of a real way with the people in our immediate vicinity. And a lot of us don't live in Frenchay. We travel into Frenchay, so others might want to do that. So that's what we're going to do. So if that seems good to you and you want to join us on Wednesday night, then you're very welcome. also very welcome to go to Alison's prayer meeting as well, and to pray about these things, because we want people to come in and we want them to find Jesus here. And it's like, we've got to tell them about this stuff. So that's just a little challenge for you to start thinking about, how am I going to outwork the why that is about loving God and loving people. Amen?
Amen.